Thank you. So today our assignment is to discuss a number of forms that are usually filled out at weddings. We're going to start with full page number one, which is a Tanoim, which is authored by Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. When I say the word authored, we should almost use the word unauthored. He took all the kishkas out of any Tanoim, so it says just about nothing. All it says is that the certain father, a typical case, who's representing his son, other father representing the daughter, all the obligations have been satisfied, and there's no claims or counterclaims. The chazan's going to marry the kala on a particular day, and it's typically filled out the day of the wedding, and they're not going to hide from each other, and they're going to divide their possessions equally. Now that last phrase, yishtu bin chsein shava b'shava, some they say means equitable distribution. Or I should say community property. That means that all their marital assets are split 50-50, even in the case of divorce. So to some say it means, but most people say it's just a platitude. It doesn't mean anything. Shalom, shalva b'nei Torah, oh, yeah, all this stuff. And then the kanina. And then the two people sign it. Then they break a plate and they dance. Fine. It basically says nothing. Rav Moshe wanted it to say nothing. So it says nothing. What's the original Tanoim? You have the original Tanoim on page number four. This is the original Tanoim. Even these were sort of, as you'll see on the bottom, taken out the main part. The original Tanoim was signed at the time of the engagement. Okay? So it says he's going to marry at a certain time, not going to hide. That's where the Nusach comes from. Now we come to real stuff. It says the father is obligates himself, and there's a small little one. Here it just says to lehalbushes benoa chosin big they cover the Shabbos l'yantav l'chol can I give the fikvoda and give my tonus to kala l'fikvoda. But in the bottom it says, which is based on kitzin achal shiva, the salat benoa chosin sach blank bimizumonim. Right, give X dollars in cash, okay, and the other father. Milchayvus Atzmo, again, to his daughter, the kala should have all kinds of fancy clothes, etc., etc. But in the bottom it says, Los es nedunya, les bitos hakala, sag blank, bimusumon, cash, a dowry. So they're all going to give each other cash, you know, that was like the Mohan Kiddushin. Kamatanos lebincha, kamatanos lebincha, on the Vikitshu and Roman Ramir, this is what they. Business, dollars and cents, okay? Fine. The time of the wedding, whenever they agree. Now, what's the next word? It says C says 3-4. What's the word under the 3-4? What does it say there? Anybody? It's hard even to read it. No, that's what I. Oh, I'm somewhere right on the side. Gave it away. Orev Kabla, Ayin Kuf. I forgot someone wrote it. This is not my handwriting on the side. Someone put it in. Orev Kabla, that means that the person who was going to accept responsibility for these payments on the Chosn side is this one, Kala side is that one. People don't know what this means. This is a classic story. Once this guy to put in, he put in the name of the father. He's responsible for himself. You know what's going on? A real Chosh of a rabbi. I didn't know how to read it. Put down the father's name again. As he's responsible for himself. Okay, fine. But what's left out, even of this edition, is 3 and 4. Chati nadan knas mitzada over letzada mekayim vaknas lo yifter v'chule. That's what it says in Kitzur Nachal Shiva. What does that mean? It means if either party backs out, they give the other side half of the dowry. The dowry is $100,000, $50,000 a knas if he backs out, if she backs out to the other side. Vaknas lo yiftar b'chule. What does that mean? So if you look over here in Nachla Shiva proper, in Simon Ches, the real text, it says, La'ashir l'kayim b'cheirim chomer v'shvur d'arayis, and not to back out. Then it has the text from before. Vaknas lo yiftar, what's b'chule mean? Es ha'cheirim. But you have to pay the $50,000 and you're still in chayrim. Both. Obviously, there's a disincentive to back out from a shidduch, to say the least. This is the traditional tanoim which was written in the old days. Okay? Fine. Hatzadim mechuyavim lefatzes es areim shlo yagir lem chshim nezik chas v'shalom. If a guy took responsibility as a guarantor, I have to pay him back. Great. Umachmas ketat, the word ketat is underlined. V'idur, chas v'shalom, yisnagu ketakonas, what's that? What's the word after the ketakonas? Shum, what does shum mean? Oh, he knows. Shpire vermaizam against it. I was once at a wedding, a really chosheva, she was reading this, and he was stumped. Didn't know how to read it. She just said shum. But he saw the Russian tapes, he just stopped. Doesn't mean garlic. It means shpire vermaizam against it, that's takonas shum. What does this mean? Who knows what either means? What does either mean? Guys. What does either mean? I don't know what? Hold back? Mm-hmm. Either means absent. When I was a kid, if you were nedar, it meant you were absent. Ish lo nedar, the Navi says. You know what it really means? Death. The final absence. Okay? If the body dies, you have a little Torah in Ksubis, it's takonash abeinu tam. On the pasuk v'tam larit kochachem. That's what they say. Aside from v'yakov v'ishtam. V'tam larit kochachem, if a person has his whole life savings, gives it away to his daughter as a dowry, and then the daughter dies, or the son-in-law dies. The daughter dies. So the son-in-law gets all the money, and he's left with no daughter and no money. So in the time, it's Tarsung Subas quotes in the fourth parak, that if she dies in the first year of marriage, all the money goes back to the father, and something in the second year, half goes back to the father. That's called Takon Hashem Machmas Idur. What's Machmas Ktat? A fight? What fight? Who fight? Where fight? What does that mean? So, in footnote 5, it tells you what it says. Nachashiva Simentes. This was done traditionally in the Tanoi Machron, just before the wedding. Vimchas v'sholom, sheyase ploni hanal, the zukoso plonis, eze dvorem she'enu yechol elizbo, utzricha lebezin, os techef miyad, yiten lo asara zehuvim, lepizim azonos, וכן ייתן לו כל חודש וחודש משך ימי הקטט. Hence the word קטט. וירד אימו לבזן שלהם תוך בית שבוע אחר בקשו סביבם. What is this, Rebbe? What is this? It's a prenup. This is the prenup. Exactly what we have at the prenup. We'll see soon. This is it. That if they separate for whatever reason, it gives a reason she can't handle what he's doing to her. Okay, so they have to give it money. What a lump sum at the beginning. Every month another lump sum. 10 gold pieces of snaps. A lot of money. I'm not sure how much it really was. I couldn't figure it out from the experts in coins. The Nachal Shiv was written by a Talmud of the Taz in Poland in the 17th century. If you can figure it out, let me know. This is the Tanoim. And then it says, the Kaninim and Atzadim, Umenachosim and Akala, on everything, Akol Shor V'Kayim, here, the Adam sign, and then the Chos and the Kal himself sign. We don't have that in our Tanoim as a rule. Atkan, a real Tanoim. So we spoke about fake Tanoim, spoke about real Tanoim. So, the real Tanoim are approximated by a prenup. We'll go from here, from page 4, which is the real Tanoim, to page number 6. This is an arbitration agreement of the Bezdin of America. The names and names, addresses, the date, all that stuff. And they have a dispute, Chalila v'chas, they go to Bezdin. Here we mentioned the Bezdin of America as a particular Bezdin, so they shouldn't have fights which Bezdin to go to, which is a terrible. And it's enforceable, and they have jurisdiction to get Ksuba, and Tznoim. All right, fine. And now, Section 4a, how much authority do you give to the Bezdin? So I prefer to give the most authority to the Bezdin. 4a1, which is the best. The parties agree that the Bezdin of America is authorized to decide all matters of disputes, including division of property and maintenance, that may arise between them. We choose to have this pact applied to our children and women. They sign. But sometimes the woman is not happy with this because she feels she's going to get shortchanged by the business compared to what she can get in secular court. But she has no right to go to secular court. But she wants that. She wants what she wants. She wants what she wants. So in order to accommodate such women, they should be over these six zayla, and these are our cause. We put in an option, if they both agree, that's called tonight should be mom and kain, that what are they going to do? That authorizes the sides of disputes based on principles of equitable distribution customarily employed in the U.S. as found in the Uniform Marriage and Divorce Act. What does that mean? Take New York State, for example. It's equitable distribution. What they consider to be fair. Fair depends on many considerations. Did she put him through school? Did she raise his children? I'm not going to the zillion and one factors that can be taken into account by any judge. So, if the woman wants us to have signed for A2, so if it comes to Besdin 20 years later, they'll take into account this law. We don't specifically reference New York State law because we're trying to avoid what some poskim say. It shouldn't be referencing state laws in Besdin. It's maybe it's a cause of some sort. I don't think so. Zalman Chema really doesn't think so. Especially if you make it dependent upon the law now as opposed to what the law is going to be in 20 years. But to play it even safer, he referred to a Uniform Marriage and Divorce Act. That doesn't mean anything. It's not a law in any state. It's just a uniform, consensus of what's going on in various places. And number three, literally, that's called community property. Everything's 50-50. Okay, that's another choice.
So you can only sign one of them?
Bavada. If you sign none of them, then Besdin can't do anything. Besdin can only deal with the ksuba, tsunoyim, the prenup, and that's it. Alright, get. They can't discuss the monetary disputes between them. 4B is about custody. They can decide all disputes, including child custody, child support, visitation matters, whatever, and as well as any other disputes that may arise with you. The kitchen sink. You should sign that too, because if you don't, you'll be dealt with in secular court. Now, I have to be full disclosure, 4B is not completely binding in New York State or probably not in any state in the Union, because the state governments view themselves as the guardians of the children. So if you go to a Besdin and they decide that this custody goes to one parent and the other parent will scream in secular court, in theory, the secular court could overturn by fiat. But I don't have to even ask any questions. Usually, arbitration is binding unless they find irrational or corruption, bribery, or who knows what. But otherwise, they have to. The secular courts have no right to overrule it. Here's an exception. They can disregard any child custody, support, visitation, if they want. In our business history, they've never yet touched us on this. Because we have smarter people than they have. I sat in a dintar years back. So we put the psychologist on the business. Dr. Pelkovitz, he's the God of Lador. So they're going to have something better than him. Of course, it wasn't contested. It would have been contested. He has more credentials than they have. So why should they try to overturn and make themselves work? So we have capable people that are not going to overturn. 4C. The Besdin of America may consider the respective responsibilities of either or both of the parties for the end of the marriage as an additional but not exclusive factor in determining the distribution of marital property maintenance should such a determination be authorized by Section 4A or 4B. What does that mean? You know, in America today, there's what they call no-fault divorce. The courts are not interested whose fault it is that the marriage broke up. This is a far cry from the old days and in my youth. The only official reason that you could claim divorce is on adultery. That's the only grounds. Today, adultery is a mitzvah. It's not an aver and in the secular world. But in those days, that was considered an aver, which is a begida, beishta, bebala, and that could be the grounds. Today, it's no fault. But we don't necessarily hold that way. From our perspective, in the certain desire making these decisions, it's relevant. You know, who in some cases, who brought about the end of the marriage. So that's why he put 4C in there, so that the Bezdin can legitimately include that in their deliberations. Okay, page 7. Page 7 is largely what we call boilerplate. Number 5 is about attorney's fees. Number 6 is how the Bezdin will reach their decision. Pshara Krova Ledin. And rules and procedures, etc., etc. Section 7 is the real guts. The parties agree to appear before the Bezdin, cooperate. If either party fails to appear, it can give a default decision, impose costs, fine. Furthermore, husband-to-be acknowledges that he recites and accepts the following. This is in italics. This is Nachal Shimas and Mentes. We already saw it. Just updated to 2013 instead of the 17th century. I hereby now may achshav obligate myself to support my wife to be from the date that our domestic residence together shall cease for whatever reasons at the rate of 150 per day, which is, you know, upped with the CPI, in lieu of my Jewish law obligation to support, so long as the two of us remain married according to Jewish law, even if she has another source of income or earnings. So look on Ksumas, you'll see if she has earnings. So you can say to her, listen, you support yourself. No, he's saying, even if she has earnings, I'm going to obligate myself anyway. Not only that, but I waive my right to my wife's earnings. That's a question, is he really entitled? Those who learn the Sugas and Ksumas, I think that she's supposed to learn Ksumas next year, if I'm not mistaken. So you'll learn that a man is entitled to his wife's earnings only if it's a regular standard weaving that she does in the house. If she's hadafai de'atchak, she works extra hard, then he's not entitled to call the son. And if she works super extra hard, she's a lawyer, a doctor, but pshuto, he's not entitled to it at all. So it's very likely he's not entitled to a penny. But just in case he is entitled, he waives that right. There's a problem. When he waives the right, it's too early. They're not married yet. So if you look over here, and I recite that I shall be deemed to have repeated this waiver at the time of our wedding. Not everyone agrees that this is good. I was told by Rabbi Nachmanstein Shlita when he was asked to do a prenup, did it under the chuppah for this reason. Paid Eris and the Suin. Because of this particular reason, based on the Suin that Pegim. Okay. I acknowledge that I have now my option effected the above obligation by means of a Kenyan formal Jewish transaction in an esteemed chosh of Bezdin as prescribed by Jewish law. So this is the obligation that he has to pay her per day. This is a very important obligation. So what happens as a result of this? Let's take a look, finish up the next two sentences. However, this formal obligation shall terminate if wife-to-be refuses to appear upon due notice for the Bezdin of America, or in the event that wife-to-be fails to abide by the decision or recommendation of the Bezdin of America. Otherwise, it's not fair to the man. Right? He has to pay forever? No, if she refuses to come, refuses to obey, the Bezdin decides to recommend, he's off the hook. So what happens? So let's imagine Reuben and Rachel are separated, and Rachel asks for the money. Let's take a look at the next sentence. Furthermore, wife-to-be waives her right to collect any portion of the support obligation attributed to the period preceding the date of a reasonable attempt to provide written notification to husband-to-be. She intends to collect the above sum. Separate notification must include wife-to-be's notarized signature. I'll come back to that a little later on. But the typical case, so they separate, and she wants to get, he doesn't want to give it to her. Okay, fine, don't get, okay, but give me the $150 a day. They'll say, whoa, I don't think I'm chayav. Come to Bezdin. The Bezdin will decide if he's chayav or not chayav. There could be reasons why he's not chayav. We made reference to that. 4C was a reason why not be chayav, and 4, section 7, she's not listening to the back of the Bezdin. It's another reason that might not be chayav. So, you know, But the onus is upon him. More likely to come to Bezdin if otherwise she can keep collecting $150 a day. Who wants to stay? Who wants to pay the woman he's learned to hate to so much money? But this money's not so much. I've had people ask me to raise the amount. Can't live on $50,000 a year. Yeah, Edward will look. You have to provide for an apartment. And for clothes is expensive for women. Those who are married, no. And then there's health insurance and a car in many cases, and you know, and then food. And a lot of, not discussing children, just a woman for one person to live by herself, and that's us, whatever. That's what we're holding by $150 a day right now.
Okay. Has that number changed over the years?
When Rav Zalman Nechemia Shalita put it in print, something similar, 1988, talking about now 25 years ago, he went on $50 a day. He thought that $50 a day is enough to pay for a hotel. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what kind of dump he was had in mind. So then, by the time we started it, which was in 1992 or 3, we got $100 a day. And 10 years later, it wasn't enough, so we made $150. Now it's another 10 years, we're still holding. $150, we haven't changed it yet. Maybe I'll have to add it a little bit more. I don't know.
It says here that there's a
kinyan
in an esteem vessel.
Right.
But that...
I mean, don't have to do it. Hold on, bald the kamei them done. You don't have to do anything. Once you saw that you did it, it's as if you did it. Hold on, bald. So now, this system works unless the man is a multimillionaire, happy to give $150 a day, or the total pauper has no money. He's judgment proof. The last sentence is because.
Could this be brought to bankruptcy court
to
liquidate his assets?
The only bankruptcy court. You bring it to any court.
Let's say if he has no cash.
That every court will have to decide. I don't presume to know what secular courts would say about this, but if he has properties, and it's like any other debt assigned against his properties, and the court will decide what they can take, what they cannot take. But the last two says that I had the following case. A woman and a man came to a Bezdin, and the man was very cooperative. So she took him to bed and said, yeah, I'm happy to give the get. No problem, da 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 da. But it took 3 years till they got through all the other zachim, which were wending their way through the courts. They didn't want Bezdin to deal with those things. After 3 years, he gives her a get. She takes him to our Bezdin for $100,000. It was then $100 a day for 3 years. So it came to the Bezdin. And the Bezdin met three dayanim chashuvim, and the decision was that they're going to give her $10,000. What kind of pshara is that? That was the amount of time until they actually came to the Bezdin and said, I'm willing to give it again. So once he did that, they said, you can't. They both appealed. We have an appeal system in our Bezdin. She appealed, she wants $100,000. He appeals, I don't want to give her a penny. So the appeal came to me. I was the appellate judge in this case. And I paskened, I looked at it, you know, I wrote it up. Zero. Zero. She took it to the court of the state of Maryland and claimed my decision was irrational and therefore should be annulled by the second court. She wants $100,000. So the judge in Maryland wrote, a very beautiful decision. It's very eminently rational. I like this decision. That's very important. Recently, a court in Connecticut had a different title. They said it's unconstitutional. Some of church and state. They said, no, it's very constitutional. There's nothing to do with church and state. So, Baruch Hashem, we've had a couple of victories in the various courts on these matters. Okay?
Was she swimming?
No, she wanted money. Malicious, she wanted money. Everyone wants money.
There's still people out there that are claiming that it's a get milusa. Can you just articulate why it's not a get
milusa? That's a question. A man is married to a woman. And the halacha is he has to give her money. Shera kusa v'nasa l'yigra. So he has to give her money. No prenup. Just the dini aksum. So he has to give her money. So she takes it to Bezdin. And Bezdin says, yeah, you have to give her money. Whatever the amount is, 50, 100, 150, 200, 250. It all depends on the Olimo of any Eretzimo, though they make it hit him for a bigger bill. Depends on how what the standard of living is. He says, I don't want to give her so much money, I'll divorce. So I get Musa? And he gets that way. He has an obligation to support his wife. And then he doesn't want to support her anymore, he gives a get. It's not a get Musa. It's just by divorcing her, he's no longer responsible to his obligation which the Torah or the Chachamim or his own prenup impose upon him. The only difference in the prenup and the Chiyuv Midinei Gemara of Shulchan Aruch is twofold. One, it's quantified, 150, otherwise it could be more or less. And two, and it's critical, it says they ask of the money. It's important. Shall cease for whatever reasons. If you look at Shulchan Aruch and Siman Ayin and Eved as a Sifyut Beis, it says, if they're separated, does he have to support her? It depends. Who caused the marriage to break up? If he caused, he has to pay her. If she caused, he doesn't have to pay her. The problem is, who's going to decide that and on what basis? She can turn white till that happens. All this thing does is takes out that exception. He's agreeing to support her, even if by strict black letter law, and Ebenezer, he wouldn't, because maybe it's her fault that the marriage broke up. That's all. But so what? It doesn't matter. Remember, Nachla Shiva has it. So there are some rabbis who have said, yeah, Nachla Shiva could do it, because they were basing themselves on Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. We don't have that power today, Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. Did they have the power in the 17th century? Mm-hmm. If you look carefully in the small print in Ebenezer, Simon Nun, Nun Beis, no Simonim, it says that in Poland, this was automatic. Signed it or not, doesn't matter. There may have been based on Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker, perhaps. But in Ashkenaz, only if you sign it. Pashtun and Ashkenaz is only, means there's no Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. You have to sign it. So Pashtun Pshat is it's not considered to be anything wrong with it. It's not an Asmachta, as some people say. It's not a Get Musa. It's Hetagam. Okay, the rest is just is a boilerplate. They sign, the witnesses sign, and the next page is a, page 8, is a notarizing process, and thanks to one of our good lawyers in New York State, the Masada Kedushin can function as a notary with respect to this particular agreement. I just signed one of these yesterday as a notary. And the second page 9 is the instructions. I very much pushed the prenup, and it's very important. And it's just too many things going on in the world around us. Lapse of a prenup, so much grief and so much divisiveness, fights between my bond and between couples and families. It's really a tragedy. Again, it's not a full solution, but generally speaking, it works. Now, of course, whenever you do something, you get criticized. This has been criticized on two levels. Those who say, as you say, get Mahusa. And the other ones say, the women say, this is not good enough. We want to be able to do whatever we want and still get this money. Now, you can't do that, because if they don't listen to the recommendation of the Bezdin, you're not entitled to a penny. And it could be go to secular court, the Bezdin will say, you have no right to do that. So, like any good thing, it's criticized on both sides. I strongly recommend that you do it, and you should believe it when you get married, when your parishioners get married, and you just stay in the drawer like any good insurance policy forever. Yes, Shai?
Is a person, if there's a husband who's really rich or really poor, is there any solution for him, like going in before the marriage?
It's very difficult to do that. I mean, what you can do is increase the daily sum. You're allowed to do that if he's such a wealthy man, because of Ola Ima. She's entitled to a higher number. So that's you could raise the number in that kind of a case. Poor man, I want to make him rich. Nothing to do about that. Any questions? Okay, we only have another 10 minutes to go. Let's see what we can do about the other documents that we haven't yet started. So, I guess the most important is page number 2. It's a standard ksuba. Standard text of a standard ksuba. So, let's take today. If you want to get married to Berevi, B'Shabbos, right? Let's just give it back by way of example. What's today's date? Shlosha ve'esrim yom, I think. Shnayim esrim yom? Okay, could be. No, could be right. I'm not holding it exactly. Whatever the date is. L'chodesh teves. Shnas chamesh alof, m'shvameos v'shivim v'arba v'yisolim v'shimon v'kan. Mosa, New York, if you're getting married here. Okay. Ech Shabachar Ruven ben Shimon Amal Adabsulta Sarah Bas Levi, and then the rest is, this is the standard ksuba. Be my wife, And I will work, I'm just translating, I will work and I will cherish and I will feed and I'll support you, according to the laws of Jewish husbands who work and cherish and feed and support their wives faithfully.
Mishpachas?
I don't have mishpachas, as you may have noticed.
Yeah.
Okay. Mishpachas, it's only because it causes complications. A, how to spell it is often a problem. B, what do you do if it's, for example, a woman's second marriage? What's her mishpachas? Her maiden name or her first married name? Okay. So she goes by more than one. Maybe all kinds of other situations of adoptions and conversions and you don't need it. You know, it just makes trouble. That's true. Rav Moshe wrote in his tshuva that it's a good idea, but he didn't do it himself. I mean, anyway, Rav Moshe did. He didn't have mishpachas. The RCA has the word mishpachas in it. It's true, but okay. I think that's a schar Rav says. That's my opinion. If you want to put it in? No, feel free. There are other forms around. This is what we'll call my form. There are many other forms. Rav Shach Rashid has his form, which has other changes. Maybe we'll have a chance to talk about it for a minute. Okay. Vano. We saw this already. And what happens is, I'll give you your ksuba, 200 zuz that you're entitled to, and then the sheira ksusa vadosla yigra, and she agreed to become his wife. Wow. That's the most important line in the whole ksuba. And of course, it's all written prospectively. See how the chiyuv ksuba. What is it? It's 10 times pinyan aben. Anyone make a pinyan aben here? Who made a pinyan aben? How much did it cost? Dollars. What did it cost you? $200?
I think
maybe between 100 and 200. Now, because silver is pretty high, you see, much lower. So, silver is 10, add a zero. That's not so much money. And when silver is low, it's even much less than that. Ah, here comes the big bucks. The dunya, she gave a dowry, and this was called Nechse Tzon Barzel. That's going to be returned at a certain fixed sum of cash. Silver, gold, jewelry, furnishings, and beddings for a sock, right, the chassan. 100 zakukim, now we're talking real money, it was a Polish coin, which is worth a significant amount. It was again a couple thousand dollars. And then he adds a tosefis on it, he loves it so much, another couple thousand. Sachakol, okay, fine, so he has to give her, I believe that even with all the inflation, the price of the silver, I think the sum total of the ksuba with the neduim with is still a four-figure sum, to the best of my knowledge. So, you know, it's a nice, it's a piece of cash, but not all that much. And then, the remainder of the boilerplate tells us that he accepts all these three obligations, the ksuba, the neduim, the tosefta, on him and on his heirs after him to be paid from his possessions that he owns under the sun. I owns nothing. When you got married, you were penniless, Baruch Hashem, as was I. The kanoi who did us and another mikdash. Oh, your future millions are all on the lien to this particular document. It's real estate, the movables, everything, to pay these three obligations, even for the shirt off your back, in life and beyond life, from today on forever. He accepts it upon himself, all these obligations, the loka asmachta, it's not an asmacha, it's not just empty for vikanina. I believe put a vikanina in advance, as opposed to others, from the Reuven ben Shimon to Sarah Bas Levi. I call Sarah Vikayim, two people sign it, and he picks up a handkerchief or something into vikanina. That's how it's done. This is a ksuba. Those who are married already, Baruch Hashem, been through a ksuba. Those who are not, you've seen ksubas. You've been at what they call a chosen stish. That's how it's done. My preference is to fill it out in advance. Fill it in advance. You feel that at the wedding, all kinds of things are happening. Someone bangs your elbow, and you ruin the whole tuba. Someone spills soda over it. It can easily happen. You know, that distract you. You can make a mistake more easily. You do it in the privacy. When I fill out a tuba, I will, generally speaking, first fill out a crib sheet. Go through every single blank and fill out a piece of paper. Then fill it out in a real tuba. It's a way to make mistakes, even in the privacy of your home. That's a page two. Classic ksuba. Page 3 is a ksuba for a second marriage. Right? And here it's not defined. It could be one of a number of things. It could be what's called matrachta, a divorcee, could be a armalta, a widow, could be a giyurta, could be a convert, or it could be what they used to call a bu'ulta, which you may now want to call an itisa, just to make it a little bit more sanitized. A woman, okay? So the it's, instead of having masayim midaraisa, it says mea derabanan. Those learned sukkahs in Kiddusha know that it's not just half, it's way less, it's a 1/16th. Very small amount of money, Kesef Tzuri, Kesef Medina, the sukkahs in the beginning of Kiddusha. Okay? And then the rest is Chamishim Skukim, Chamishim Skukim. So fundamentally, it's just about a half of the earlier Ksuba, because the Zukukim is the real money, and Zusim is small in any event. That's it. This is a second marriage for the Hur Ksuba. And at the end, this has the Mishpachas in it. It's taken from the, as you see, the Beis HaMagdal, that's the Asiya Ksuba. And before the word da, it's left again, you have to fill in Armalta, Tematrachta, Beultasa, Beulta, Giurta, Itasa, whatever you want to fill out, da. Okay? That's what it says. It's important to note, if a woman is adopted, so if she's adopted and converted before the age of 3, even though she's a Giurta, she's entitled to a higher sum of money. Don't get it. Neither of these forms is going to really work. Right, because if one has Besulta and one has Chamishim, neither, you have to have more blanks in the form for that kind of a situation. What if no one knows she's a Giyurta? She was adopted at birth, no one knows. So, I think the best way is to have two Ksubas. Write a Ksuba for the public consumption, Besulta Dora, put that in the garbage. And the real ksuba is given from the chasna to the kallah. Fill that in advance, you know, at the very beginning of the wedding. Whoever knows it, knows the real truth. She's a giyurta da, she's a beulta da. We assume if she's beula the yisrael, he's allowed to obligate himself for more money. But a beula goy not, because it's beula lakuna. So, two ksubas, that's the best way out of those things.
What are you doing?
You can read the fake ksuba. Yeah, like, what?
It's
gonished. Okay. Finally, because our time is just about up, and there's so much more to talk about. I can speak for 3 hours and all these things, but I was even a little late today. This is what they call a ksuba de irchasa. Ksuba gets lost. So, the first full line, kado irkas, is page 5. Irkas, lost, they shtak subta. And we know the what? Amar Rabbanan, the osel bar Yisrael, the mishi. He meant to say below ksuba afilu shata chada. So you write a new ksuba. It's a much longer text. And it's a ksuba de irchasa. If you find a mistake in the first ksuba, you can put ksuba de shtakach ba to'usa. Found a mistake, bit of a slightly different form. Same yisod, same idea. It has to be filled out as soon as possible if individuals lose their ksuba. So we've discussed very, very briefly two different versions of tanoim. A prenup, which is in effect the third version of Tanoim. And we discussed also three different versions of the Ksuba. The standard Ksuba, the Ksuba for a second marriage, or the equivalent, and the Ksuba Dirchta of someone who lost it. These forms are found in various ways, like changes in the Hamadrich, and other, the Kamps of Nachal Shiva, which is my preference. In the back, page 10, the last thing, is a kind of a checklist. I believe it came from Rabbi Penner Shalit, if I'm not mistaken, just to, that they should know who the kibbudim are, just a checklist to know what's happening in advance, which is a very handy piece of paper to have. Do you have any questions? Yes, sir.
The ksuba is lost. Is there an issur for the couple to be together?
Yeah, that's what it says. The nefurish. How do you define lost? Is it really lost? Maybe it's here, maybe it's there. I think the sermon is lost, it's lost. Yeah.
Could you address the chuppas needed for compliments for them about differences in terms of how you decide a condition?
Chuppas needed is bad. It shouldn't happen. I think about it last time. If you go on go to a good OBGYN, they give you the right pills, it won't happen.
Yeah, so.
I know it happens. You don't have to tell me. They're not in the right pills or the right dosage. Or whatever, if it happens, so what do you do? So there's a yichud is asur, we assume. So the yichud room, should be someone else should be in the room. I've been there. as to someone else. I once had hid in the bathroom with a constant story. I don't have time to tell you the whole story about Riches. And then you have to worry about who's gonna, where they're going to go home at night. Someone has to be in separate apartments or whatever. It's complicated. But other than that, you shouldn't make any changes. He's still allowed to give her the ring on her finger. It was once a very famous incident that it was announced into a mic. People hit, now drop the ring into the caller's hand. Someone that was go into that story. You should not do that. He's allowed to put the ring on the finger. Giving her the ksuba, better not to. I was at a wedding where the rabbi gave the ksuba directly to the caller. It was not an even. Just gave it to her. What's the difference?
It's okay.
Yeah, so you can do that. Shas Atzchak can give it to her also. But the touching pictures they can't have. I already told you last time they should have all the pictures before when they shouldn't touch her anyway. So that solves the problem completely. Yes?
Does the rabbi think that she should do kedushin again afterwards?
Whoa, kedushin afterwards? What?
Again.
What? New kedushin? No, for, even Rambam holds that kedushin is chal. Maybe the nisuin is not chal. We don't pass like the Rambam. I would never do another nisuin again. They're married. Any last questions? I apologize. We didn't have enough time to discuss any of these things in any depth whatsoever. But if you have questions, I'm around. You can talk about it. Okay. All the best. Rabbi, thank you for inviting me. Mazel Tov by Turk on this upcoming.